Thank you. Oh, God, I'm really loud. Right. I have got some readings, some Bible readings, but they're going to happen sort of during my talk. So various people are doing Bible readings for me. So I'll just let them know when to come up. Okay, so tonight, you might want to have your Bibles open as well, because there's quite a little bit to look at. So have you ever wondered, or maybe you haven't, why God uses different names to communicate with his people? Why isn't just God? Isn't that just enough? He's God. That's fine. Well, God often reveals different parts of his character through the names that describe him. And we can also use some of these names when we talk to God. Nowadays, I don't know if you notice, but a lot of people seem to take the name of God or Jesus in as a swear word, as an exclamation. How many times have we heard the, and I don't really want to say it because I turned the telly over last night because the program was on and I just thought, I don't want to listen to it. But how many times do we really hear that? And it comes out of some people very naturally. And when I was a teenager, I was just the same. And I used the word Jesus quite a lot. And I didn't even realise I was doing it until somebody challenged me at school. And somebody said to me, I really don't like it when you do that. And I hadn't even realised I was doing it. And it really made me think, why do I do that? I didn't even really think about it. Why do I do it? And it made me really conscious of what I spoke and how I said it. But does it offend you if you hear the name of Jesus used in that way? Do you say something about it? It changed how I thought about things, and it was a very simple thing. And it was obviously the person who spoke to me, it was quite a brave thing for her to say, really, to challenge me on what I said. Or is it just part of culture? I think that's what a lot of people think. Is it time for you to challenge somebody on how they use the name of Jesus? What about our own names? I'd had a lot of thought about names with this. What about our own names? Why are we called what we're called? Sometimes we've got a nickname. Sometimes it's one we might like, and sometimes it's one we don't like, but we still get called it. Quite often it's just something to do with our surname or another name that we might have. It's not often about our personality. Sometimes a name just sticks and you really don't want it to. And other times you don't mind. Anita often gets called Neat, so I don't think she minds. So just as an example. Of course, there's always popular names that go in and out of fashion. When I was born, and it wasn't in this country, when I was born, a lot of names that girls were being given ended with Anne. So I could have ended up with anything. I ended up with Joanne, so I'm quite pleased. But there was lots of names. My mum said there was Mary Ann and Lou Ann. There was lots of names like that. So I ask you a question. What do you think the top names were for a girl or a boy between 1913 and 2013? Anybody want to have a guess? No? James? Yes, James is one of them. No. Elizabeth is one of the girls' ones, yeah. Sorry? No. Apparently the top names for boys are James, John, Robert, Michael and William. And for girls, Mary, Patricia, Elizabeth, Jennifer and Linda. We have a Linda, we're all right. However, in the last few years, they have changed. And now, apparently, the top boys' names are Oliver, Jack and Charlie. And for girls, it's Amelia, Lily, Emily or Sophia. Of course, names do go in fashion a little bit, don't they? You can quite often tell somebody's age by their name. Royal names apparently are always very popular. And sometimes it's quite difficult when you have children to decide on their name. My niece is called Abigail, which would be fine apart from the fact that her surname is Muse. So her post will come to her dressed as Miss A. Muse, which I thought was quite good. My sister obviously didn't worry about it, but that's how it goes. So I was looking on the internet about names. You can do a lot of research. You can spend a lot of time doing this. And the things that when people are giving their children names, this is some of the questions they ask. Shall we name our baby the same as our dog? This is quite relevant for us because if we had a boy, Jeremy wanted to call our boy Oliver, which I didn't like because his parents had a big dog called Oliver. And I couldn't quite get this out of my mind as naming a son after their dog. But anyway, other things they ask is, what if we're inheriting a family name that we don't like? What if no one else likes the name we've chosen and there'll always be a name that somebody doesn't like? But in biblical times, names often said something about the people that they were given to. They said something about their destiny, their personality. For instance, Eve, when she had her first baby named Cain, which means brought forth or acquired. And Esau, apparently, was red when he was born. And his name means hairy, but he was also given the name Edom, which means red. So you'd have to know all of this before you named your children, wouldn't you? Jacob means grasps the heel, and that's what he was doing when he was born. He came out grasping the heel of Esau. And there's many more. You can look them up. You can spend a long time on the internet looking at names and all about them. But when God uses a name with us, it's often because he wants to reveal something about himself to us, something of his character, something he wants to communicate to us in his relationship. With Moses, he reveals himself as I am. And this is in Exodus 6. God's talking to Moses and he says, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob as God Almighty. I entered a solemn covenant with them. What God has done in the past, he promises for the future. And that's not just with Moses, that's with us today as well. It's important. God is God. He just perhaps using these names in a slightly different way. And a lot of the names of God are in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament we come to the names of Jesus, and there's plenty of those. For example, there's Jesus calls himself the light of the world. He calls himself the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life. Many more, and I'm sure that we all have related to one of those names at some time or another. And people also use the name of Jesus to reveal his character. In John 1, we're told that salvation is through the name of Jesus. In John 14, we're told to pray in his name. In Matthew, we're told to gather in his name. In the Old Testament, Abraham calls on the name of the Lord in Genesis. We're also told not to take the name of the Lord in vain. And I like this one. In Judges 13, we are told that the name of God is wonderful. Fantastic. So the Old Testament really speaks of the character of God, and the New Testament speaks of the character as God the Son, as Jesus. And there's also quite a few names describing the Holy Spirit. So there's different names describing different aspects of God's character. And the name we're looking at tonight is El Shaddai. It's got two parts to the name, the El and the Shaddai. And firstly, the El. This name was often given to any god. Even false gods often had the name El, E-L. But when it was used with a capital, E-L, it was used to mean the one true God. So, the Shaddai bit. Well, that's a little bit more complicated we're going to look at. It's got various different meanings, which was when I was looking up. So they range from omnipresent, omnipotent, to a mountain or God of the mountains, a breast or all-sufficient one, God satisfying all our needs. It's quite a wide variety of things that come under this one name. When I originally looked at the list, I had a list of names to choose from, and the name, the meaning that it was given was Lord God Almighty. So why does God use this particular name? And then we're going to look at where it's used and what it means. And Tina's going to do our first reading for us.
This reading This reading is from Genesis chapter 17, and it's verses 1 to 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God."
Thanks, Tina. So, at this time, Abram is 99 years old. And the Lord appears to him and says, "I am God Almighty," or "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless." He goes on to say, "I will confirm my covenant with you." Now, he'd made this covenant with Abraham 24 years before this. So Abraham now is 99. And if you remember, his wife, Sarah, wanted to have a child, and she couldn't. So what does she do? She decides to give Abraham her maidservant, and then her maidservant has a child. This causes a rift because she gets taunted. The child has to go off. It causes great problems, all because they tried to sort it out themselves and they didn't wait for God's timing. And I know 24 years is probably quite a long time to wait for God's timing. But God had already promised in chapter 12 of Genesis, you can read about it, he'd already promised to make Abraham the father of many nations. And he'd also promised to make him into a great nation and to bless him. So sometimes we may have to wait quite a while for God's timing. It's often we want to do it in our own time. We want things to go quickly. But it's so much better when we wait for God's timing. Then we don't end up in this great anguish as they had done, this great problem that was solved. Abraham may have thought, "Well, I'm 99, I'm not going to have a child now." He may have thought it was too late, but it wasn't too late for El Shaddai, the mighty, omnipotent God. One of the other meanings of Shaddai incorporates this feeling of being fruitful and growing like a child at its mother's breast, getting everything it needs to grow. And this is true for Abraham. And later, God uses the name to Jacob as well, which we're going to see. And notice how God changes his name. Abram becomes Abraham. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham at this time means father of a multitude. God changes his name. It's a sign he's doing something in his life, a sign that the relationship is changing. And we also see this happening in the New Testament. You know, when Jesus changes Simon's name, he's going to be Peter, the rock. He's going to build his church. Biblical names were often used to signify some sort of change in a person. So where else is El Shaddai used? Well, it was used when God communicated with Jacob. And I've got somebody doing Genesis 28. Oh, it's my daughter.
So it's Genesis 28, verses 1 to 5. "So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, 'Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau.
So in this, passage we see about here, Isaac wants to bless Jacob, and he uses the name God Almighty. Notice it's used to ask God to bless Jacob, to make him fruitful so that he'll become a community of peoples. It's that fruitful bit of the El Shaddai. He also uses it to pray that Jacob will be blessed with this land to live in, the land of Canaan, the land that Abraham was promised many years before. We've got another reading now, Genesis 35. I think, have you got the one, Joy? Why be in a big church if you can't use everybody?
Genesis 35, verses 9 to 12. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body."
Thank you, Joy. So here we've got another name change. God changes Jacob's name to Israel, and Israel means he struggles with God. So the name El Shaddai is used again in verse 11. God says, "I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai." That name is used again. Be fruitful, increase in number. As we move on in Genesis, we're going on to chapter 43, which Jeremy's going to read for us.
Chapter 43, verse 11 to 15. Then their father, Israel, said to them, "If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved." So the men took the gifts and double the amount of silver, and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph.
Great. So this happens after Joseph has been born. He's been sent off to Egypt, and here's Jacob saying, "You know, you've got to take your brother off. You've got to go and get some grain." He uses the name Lord Almighty. It's a time of famine in the land, and he's going to send his beloved son Benjamin into Egypt. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know it's Joseph there. He doesn't know all of this. But he trusts in the Lord Almighty, in this great God that he knows. And he says, "May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved." He accepts whatever God is going to do. He trusts this magnificent, awesome God. He accepts the will of God. In chapter 48, we find that Joseph then brings his sons to Jacob for a blessing. And Jacob passes on to them not just his blessing, but also his experience of God. Jacob shares how this Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, blessed him, promised him to make him fruitful, not just in his descendants, but also in the land he was given him. He passes on what he's learnt to other people. He says, look, God's been really faithful to me. He's kept all his promises. And then he passes them on to the future generation. And how important it is for us to do that as well. We need to remember to be recalling how God is faithful in our lives. Recalling it and sharing it. Because God is a faithful God. In Genesis 49, verse 25, the name Shaddai is explained a little bit more. It says, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the heart and the womb. This Almighty God who longs to bless us. And the names of God, and the interesting this one as well, are used in two ways. They're used by God to communicate something to the people, and they're used by the people when they talk about God. They want to talk about God in a particular way. They might use the name, the Lord God Almighty. They would have understood what this name meant. It meant blessings and fruitfulness. It meant that he was a fantastic, awesome, omnipotent God. Why would they not want to use that wonderful name? El Shaddai is probably not a name we really use today. But we do need often to use different names to express how much God means to us. And having different names can help us. Understanding what those names mean can help us. It's part of our loving relationship with God. After all, he knows our names. He tells us that in his word. He knows each and every name. We might forget people's names, but God doesn't. And how wonderful it is then that we can go back and use different names with God. To tell him how we're feeling, to tell him how much we love him. Shouldn't we know his names? Shouldn't we understand them? When we use the words Lord God Almighty, and we often sing them in songs, and there was one this morning, we often use that, Lord God Almighty. What does it really mean to us? We sing it. What does it really mean? Well, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, it meant thanking God for who he was. It means saying, thank you that you've looked after me. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the way you're continuing to bless us. We want to pass that on to our future generations. God wanted a relationship with them, and he wants one with us as well. He wants us to use those words, Lord God Almighty, and understand what they really mean. He wants us to go his way, not our own way, his way. To trust when times are difficult, as they did. We've got so much to learn from people in the Bible. They knew that they were in God's hands. Do you know that you are in God's hands? Time and time again, they returned, went back to God, praised him, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Omnipresent, omnipotent, and supreme. How fantastic. And he wants all of those things for us today. He calls us by name, whatever your name is, whether you like it or you don't. He calls us by name. He knows all about us. He calls us to be our followers. He created us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He tells us that in his word. Now, just because he knows our name doesn't mean he's suddenly going to change all our circumstances and make life wonderful. But he does come in and walk with us. And he does long to shower us with blessings. He does long for us to be fruitful. Not necessarily with lots of children, but he longs for us to be fruitful in our faith, to be sharing what he's doing in our lives. Are you fruitful in your faith? Do you share it with other people? It's important that we share our experience of God. How will people know about it otherwise? What's God doing in your life? Have you grown with him recently? Have you spent any time with him? Are you changing? What good things have happened in your life that you need to share with others? And perhaps how has God helped and encouraged you? Life isn't all a bed of roses. It's often difficult. How's God helped you with that? Share it because it spreads, doesn't it? When we've got something to share and we share it round, it can encourage and help other people. So share when it's difficult and when it's good. So God wants us to trust him completely so that we can call him Lord God Almighty. Use the name El Shaddai if you want to. If that helps, use it. God wants to reveal more of who he is. We won't understand everything about him, but we can gradually build that relationship so that when we sing Lord God Almighty, we really understand what it means. So much more. This huge, great God who wants to bless us, who wants to supply everything for us, who wants to be all that we need. We just need to follow him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever in our lives. Isn't that something to praise God about? Thank you. We're going to watch a clip now of the song El Shaddai. So we haven't sung it tonight. We're going to watch a clip, and it's the Amy Grant singing El Shaddai. There's some pictures with it. Some of them are a little graphic, so I'm just warning you now. You may want to close your eyes and just listen. You may want to watch it and go along with it. It's quite moving. I think every time I've watched it, I've had a tear in my eye.